We've come to the end of the series on the radical teachings of the Lord Jesus and want to preach a couple of interim messages as I prepare another series for you, an expository series. This morning I want to look with you at what ought to be, what is our hope, what is our glory, what is our joy, what is that supposed to be to the Christian. Together with me from 1 Thessalonians, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read from verse 17 to verse 20. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. Soon after the church at Thessalonica was started, the Apostle Paul was forced to leave it. Unbelieving Jews had created so many problems for him and for some of the members of that young church that Paul and Silas had to be sent away by night, because their lives were beginning to be in jeopardy. And so there they were. The church was young. They'd founded the church. They'd met the people there, fellowshiped with them. They crept into their hearts. And then through the work of the devil and his agents, they were forced to leave. And in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul reflects upon this abrupt departure that was behind them. He reflects upon that and he writes to them. As you read the letter, you see how he writes to them and says to them, he has a deep desire to see them again. And how Satan had hindered them from fulfilling that desire. Not only had he driven them out of there, but it also kept them from fulfilling their desire to see these people once again. And it prompted Paul to ask the question, to tell them, why do I have this deep desire to see you? I hardly knew you. I wasn't among you long. I got to meet you. I looked you in the eye and we embraced and presented the gospel to you. Christ used me and founded this church there, but I never got to know any of you really very, very well. And so I can imagine that Paul must have thought that some of those people might think, but you barely knew us. How can you have this deep desire to be with us, like we are some long lost love or something? And so Paul anticipated that and he said to them, I need to explain to you why I have this deep desire to be with you. Even though I don't know you, even know you very well, I need to explain to you why I have this deep desire to be with you. Because you are something very, very, very special. In fact, he says, what is my hope in this life? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? What is that? His crown of boasting. He says to them, I want to tell you why I have this deep desire to see you. You are my hope, my joy, my crown of boasting. And Paul says that because of who he was and what Christ had called him to. Paul didn't have his mind and his heart on all kinds of things out there in the world. that no one can hold on to. Listen to me, the stuff we're trying to hold on to, you cannot hold on to it. You are going to have to leave it behind. You cannot hold on to your car. You cannot hold on to your house. You cannot hold on to your health. You cannot hold on to your friends around you. You cannot hold on to your job. You cannot hold on to whatever is precious to you in this life outside of Christ. It is going to leave you. And if it's all you have, you are going to end up with nothing. For all eternity. And Paul says to these people, I have this deep desire to be with you because you are something important to me. You are my hope. You are my glory, my crown of boasting. You are my joy. And why are they this? He asks the question, for what is our hope? Or our joy, or of our crown of boasting. He asks the question. We wanted to come to you. I, Paul, wanted to come to you again and again. But Satan hindered us. Why, Paul, why do you want to come to us again and again? You hardly know us. Well, what is our hope? Or our joy, or our crown of boasting? In the answer to that question, you find the reason why I wanted to come to you again and again and again. And I still want to come to you. We do well to ask ourselves the same question. What is our hope? What do we long for with desire and with expectation? I sent a little definition I crafted of hope in this past week to someone. I don't know who I sent it to. Hope is faith projected in the future, into the future, that makes us overcome the fears of adversity. It's just your faith flung into the future. That's hope. What is our hope? For what do we long with desire and with expectation and with longing? What is our joy? What makes you happy? What makes you glad? What stirs it up inside of you? What is our crown of rejoicing? What is our glory, the old translation says? What is our glory? I love what Augustine said about glory. He called it Claria Notitia Cum Laudi, brilliant celebrity with praise. Glory. What is your brilliant celebrity with praise? What is our crown of boasting? What is it we need to ask this morning? And as we consider what our answer should be, we need to look closely at the text and at the answer that Paul gave, because he answers the question. Now let's look at Paul's hope, his glory, and his joy. We read first of all of his desire to see them. He'd been taken away from them. He's referring to that. And he uses a word that implies a painful bereavement, like a child taken away from his or her parents. And he'd been away from their presence only a short time. Exactly how long, we don't know. Probably no more than a year, if not months. But he said he endeavored more eagerly to see them with great desire. We wanted to come to you again. We endeavored the more eagerly with great desire to see you face to face. These were in days when you couldn't make a quick FaceTime call or send a WhatsApp or something. Very difficult to communicate with people who were just a short distance away from you. Eager desire. But we learn what prevented him. He wanted to come to them time and again, either from Berea or Athens. We're not sure where he was, but he was hindered. And it was Satan himself who hindered them. You know, that's what he does. He keeps the Lord's people apart if he can. And notice also that Paul attributes the persecution of his fellow Jews to Satan. He says, not people persecuting me, it's the devil. It's unbelieving Jews who were hounding him. They were following him from place to place. They were quite possibly the thorn in his flesh, that the messenger of Satan that Paul speaks about in another place. He was the ultimate source behind the persecution suffered by the early church. It's the devil, and he still is. And so we discover Paul's hope and his glory and his joy. The Thessalonians, the people of the church, were Paul's hope, because he hoped to see them at the coming of the Lord. You can read in that in verse 19. He desired to see them in the presence of the Lord Jesus. They were his glory and his joy, not just in the future, but in the present as well. He said, you are our glory, you are our joy. So Paul's hope, Paul's glory, and Paul's joy were his brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those he had taught and brought to the Lord. Not just the Thessalonians, but others as well. We read what he says to the Philippians in chapter 4 of that letter. And it works both ways. At the coming of Christ, Paul would be the source of joy for those he taught, but they would be his joy too. Let me ask you this morning, what is your hope and your glory and your joy? I think if we're honest, it can't be stuff, can it? It can't be stuff. Can our hope and our glory and our joy be stuff? Why is it so often? Why is it the stuff? Why is it what we wear? New car. Even the new house. What's the house for? It's for people. It's not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. That ought not to be your glory and your joy. It's the people in the house that's your glory and your joy. And you don't need a big mansion for that. Otherwise, you're fixing it all the time. Why the people walk past you with their hearts ripped apart by life out there, and we don't even give them attention. We'll patch up a little hole in the wall, but let the people walk around with great gaps in their hearts and not fill them. Whatever our hope and our glory and our joy is, it cannot be stuff. Amen. Young people, all the children, listen to me. I hope God blesses you with really good things in this life. With a really nice house, with a really nice car, and good clothes and a good job. I hope God blesses you with that. We want you to have that because we love you. But learn while you are young. Those things cannot be your hope and your glory and your joy. Cannot be stuff. I have seen how fathers have ripped apart their families while they're chasing stuff. I have seen it with my own two eyes, and it's left me standing in horror that men can do that. Pursue stuff. And rip apart their families in the process. And it's not just through neglect, but through bullying them and getting them on board to get more stuff. It can't be your hope and your glory and your joy. It has to be the people. What is our hope and our glory and our joy? For some Christians, it's their possessions. Their hope is in acquiring all these material things. As I said, I've seen it. Seen men do unconscionable things to do that. Can't be that. Their glory, their pride is in what they've obtained. Their joy and their happiness is in the pleasure that such things give them. It doesn't keep them happy very long. I've seen that too. I'm 62 years old now. And I've seen, look, it doesn't keep them happy long. Have you seen that? It doesn't last long. Our jobs and all that they bring can be fleeting, especially in today's economy. With frequent downsizing, lack of company loyalty to employees, all these things can come to naught. And even the hope in what our families may become and what our families have achieved. The joy may be even in the relationship that we enjoy with our families. And that's more noble and rewarding than possessions or job. Or even our families are limited in joys and glory they can bring. Especially in South Africa these days. Your kids are here today and gone tomorrow. They're in big Australia over there or little Australia down in Cape Town. The blink of an eye. It's so sad. God help us. Even our families. That's a more noble hope and glory and joy. But even that can be very fleeting, can't it? Almost daily I look in the eyes of parents who tell me how much they miss their children who are so far away. Almost daily. So what should be our hope and our glory and our joy? Our hope and our glory and our joy should be to see each other in heaven, to see each other with Jesus, in the presence of the Lord at His coming. That should be our hope and our joy and our glory. How wonderful that is going to be. What a glorious reunion. Our glory should be seeing each other in the presence of Jesus, serving the Lord faithfully now, being glorified together with Jesus when He comes. That ought to be our hope and our faith and our joy and our glory. It was the joy experienced by John when he saw others walking in the truth. In 2 John and verse 4 and in 3 John and verse 3. Should be their joy and hope and glory. Your joy and your hope and glory, parents, should be to see your children together with you in the presence of Christ, wherever they may be now, whatever they may have or not have, however healthy they may be, the fastest athlete in the school, or little Aiden lying on his deathbed. Wherever they may be, whatever their circumstances may be, every moment we have together, we ought to be able to say, we're going to be together with Jesus in glory. We serve Him now. We follow Him now. However that may work out for us. I may be happy or I may be sad, but I have a hope and I have a glory and I have a joy that nothing and no one can take away from me. In all eternity. Our fellow believers in the Lord, as we look past these little tidbits and temporary sources of glory that the world holds up to us, as we look right past it and say, that doesn't impress me. What impresses me is the glory of Christ who died on a cross for my sins. The Christ who set me free from me, set me free from sin, set me free from Satan, set me free from the world. For all eternity is my hope and my glory and my joy. And my hope and glory and joy is that you share in that with me. That ought to turn us into soul winners, if anything, alone. Every person you pass, this person be part of my hope and glory and joy. If I share the gospel and this one stands there one day with me because I shared the gospel. You see, at the heart of why there's such a lack of evangelism also in this world is people have as the wrong things their hope and their glory and their joy. If our hope and glory and joy is to be in Christ's presence together with those we led to Him, wouldn't that turn us into people who share the gospel wherever we go? Do we do that? Our hope and our joy and our glory should be the happiness coming from our working together in the Lord, worshiping Him together in the Lord. That was Paul's great hope and glory and joy. It ought to be ours. It's a sad day when the only way in which we can fill bowlings with thousands of people who come and worship is when we fill it with a program or some pyrotechnics or something. We ought to be here because our crown and our hope and our joy and our glory is there. Our fellow believers in Christ. And hopefully our closest family members are among them. It's a sign of serious spiritual ill when that is not our hope and our joy and our glory. In fact, if it's not yours, then you need to ask. Examine yourself whether you be in the Lord. But we're so chasing the things of the world, the stuff, aren't we? Have you seen it? And be honest with yourselves. Most of the people that you bump in during the day, that you walk past, that you drive past, look at them. Do they look happy? Do they? Do they look fulfilled? Do they look like they're at peace and they're at rest? Is there an air of serenity around them? It is well with my soul. Or do you see the restlessness and the discontent? And the fear and the lack of joy, the lack of hope? I've got to chase something. I've got to find something today. It'll just make it a little bit better. Yes, we must work hard. And relentlessly, but you know what I'm talking about. You see it, don't you? You see it. It's in your face. Chasing what is their hope and their joy and their glory. And they cannot hold on to it. Here's what you can hold on to. Christ and those he has saved you together with. You can hold on to for all eternity. Let that be your hope. Let that be your glory. The reason why you boast, let it be your joy. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for constantly reminding us where our focus ought to be, what we ought to be pursuing, who we ought to be pursuing. It's the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And we do it as sinners who daily sin. But we do it nevertheless. We do it in your power. When we get it right, we can give only you the glory. When we get it wrong, we can only give ourselves the blame. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you instill in our hearts a focus that makes the Lord and his people and eternity in your presence together the source of our hope, of our joy, and our crown of boasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Dearly beloved in Christ, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen.